You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at Dicetowernetwork.com.
And welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 145. I am your host, Anitra Smith, and I'm kind of flying solo tonight, but not completely, because I'm joined by Linda Roble from Engage Family Gaming. So,
hello,
hi, Linda.
Buddy. Hi.
I waved, even though you can't see me.
That's okay. I did, too.
I'm glad we're in this together. So, Linda... like me, is a mother of youngish children who also does the board gaming thing, but she also has a day job as a teacher and also does the whole board game journalism thing. So welcome, Linda.
Why, thank you. It's quite a road to journey along, let me tell you.
And this time of year is, you know, super chill. Nothing going on, right?
Oh,
Mother's Day and... end of the school year. And
I wasn't just at gymnastics with my youngest child correcting papers while he did his class. Not at all.
Not at all. I wasn't being thankful that it was rainy so that we couldn't have baseball practice tonight and I could actually finish writing a review. Yeah.
Trying to squeeze it all in.
Yeah. We thought we would have Linda on the show today because we are big fans of Engaged Family Gaming. And we've talked to Steven a bunch of times. But we've never talked to Linda before other than a little bit of back and forth at Boston Fig. So, Linda, why don't you start off by telling us what kinds of stuff you do with Engaged Family Gaming?
So I am the managing editor of board games for Steven, which basically means I spearhead a lot of the board game coverage. So I'm the primary review writer at this point. And I've also taken on a couple projects with trying to write up some parent resources. Some of those have included recommendations by age. When the Nintendo Labo first came out,
okay.
I did an educator's perspective on that because it's sort of STEM-ish, and that was the spin I put on it, that STEM's really big, and it seemed kind of in that vein. So
Yeah, that makes sense.
So something like that. Try to tap into the educator background when I can, when it makes sense too.
So makes sense to me. It gives your words a little bit more weight than us, where we're just like, I don't know, we've been parents for 11 years, and this seems to work for us and for our friends' kids. I don't know, maybe it'll work for you, too.
And that's got it's got its benefits as well, too.
Sure.
But, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, so board games, you mentioned you're a teacher. What grade level, roughly? You don't have to give us details unless you want to.
That's okay. I'll give you the grade level because it definitely gives perspective to where I'm coming from. I'm a first grade teacher, and I've been teaching first grade for 17 years.
God bless you.
It's fun. It's hard, but it's a lot of fun. So it's been a journey for that. And just, you know, I joke that we, you know, don't tell anybody we're having fun in class. But, you know, we get to do some fun projects. I have chicken eggs incubating in my classroom right now, and we should have a hatching Thursday into Friday.
Oh, cool.
So, like, really fun stuff.
I would imagine specifically as a first grade teacher, you also really see the benefit in games and other materials that might require some really strategic thinking, but don't require reading.
Yes. Since I'm in that bridge age of a lot of them are non-readers coming in and kind of readers on the way out.
Yeah.
It catches my eye a lot more when things are light reading or more iconography because that accessibility piece.
I got a little taste of that the other day as an adult who's been reading for, I don't know, 35 years now, that we pulled out a copy of a game that we had gotten the German edition of. And we're like, oh, we could totally sit down and do this. And even with a translating service, getting through the rule book was challenging, really challenging. Once we started playing the game, though, it was almost all iconography and just a couple little, you know, two or three German words here and there, and we could work it out. And I could definitely appreciate a little bit more how hard that must be for kids in that just beginning to read state that if you give them more than one or two words to look at a time, they're just like, this is too much. I can't do it.
Right. Because they're learning to read and they're not even reading to learn yet. It's right. Just even getting that content is really challenging. So absolutely. It's something, it's a neat element that I can bring into some of the gaming piece. Plus I have my specialty in literacy. So that ties beautifully to a lot of the games and, you know, even though math's not my specialty, it's part of my curriculum and I can tie everything in with that. So
when we're talking young kids, like under 8,
right.
A lot of what gets emphasized, not everything that gets done, but a lot of what gets emphasized is the reading and the math, since those are such foundational skills to do everything else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it ties so nicely in. I mean, I know you guys have done coverage of like literacy things and, you know, early reader things too, because you have little ones.
Well, and we've seen to some extent both sides of the spectrum now, because our oldest was full on reading by the time she was 4 and a half.
Oh my goodness. She was still
in preschool. And the teachers were like, we can send her up to the kindergarten for part of the day. Other than that, I'm having her help her classmates with instructions. But our middle child, he got really frustrated because he was much more on the normal side of the spectrum, very slightly late. And yeah, entered first grade, not really reading at all, recognizing letters, but that was about it. And by the time he was done with first grade, he was then reading chapter books.
Right.
So with both of our kids, as soon as it clicked, they were off and running. But seeing the difference between, and it's really, it's a 2.5 year difference, which in the grand scheme of things is not a huge time span.
No, but when they're only 5 years old, 2.5 years is half their
life. Feels like forever. Yeah.
Right. It's all perspective. Yeah. I love when the little, you know, 5 year old comes up. It was a long time ago and it really was like 6 months.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Because for them, that was a really long time ago.
It was a really long time ago. So, Linda, you obviously play through a lot of board games, and I'm assuming not just with little kids, but a lot with little kids.
Yes.
What have been your favorite games, either in the classroom or outside?
So in the classroom, most of the games end up being more gamification of like centers.
Okay.
I have taught a few game right games for indoor recess. So for the classroom, my favorite one to teach the kids is Too Many Monkeys, because it's non-reading. It's just basic numbers. And even beginning of first grade, you know, a struggling learner, they can still handle 1 to 6. And it's a very basic concept, and it's something that's very approachable for all of them. So that's my favorite one to teach for recess time.
Sure.
I do a lot of gamification of activities, a lot of dice for math, a lot of, you know, just gamey type things to get them engaged during our center time, but not a lot of actual like board games. It just doesn't fit as neatly. Yeah. At home with the boys, I have 2 boys. One, my youngest just turned 7 and my oldest is 10, almost 11. And it's funny, the things that they keep gravitating towards and they keep pulling me into play. Just this weekend, we were playing Exploding Kittens. That is one of their go-to favorites. They absolutely love that. They think it's ridiculous and they keep coming back to it and just having an absolute blast with it, literally.
I was just listening to you talk with Stephen about that the other day on the Engage Family Gaming podcast. So I'm not surprised.
Yes. Back at the table with that. And it's a nice one because it's supportable. Just being cards.
It's quick to just pick up and get started with, right?
Yep. It is. It's so simple. There's only a couple rules. Minimal reading. There's text on the cards, but most of it's irrelevant to the game. It's just flavor text.
Sure.
So even a non-reader, they know what the explosion card looks like. They can figure out the diffuse card really fast. You know, like it's super simple and approachable. So that one's fun. Another one that we've been bringing to the table a bit is a Kickstarter that I backed, Taco versus Burrito. I don't know if you guys had seen that when that came through.
No, I didn't. But
this is one that the designer was a 7-year-old, and you know, he and his dad worked together to get this kickstarted. And it's just super silly. It's just different, ridiculous food. You're trying to get the most points in your hand. And you can use a little sleeve that either looks like a taco or a burrito. And that actually has no pertinence to how the game is played. It's just a cute little device to hold the cards. And you're putting food into your taco or your burrito. And there's ways to gain points and there's ways to lose points. And you might have to switch hands and you might get, you know, the health inspector and you have to empty your hand. Like there's all these little things, but it's designed by a 7-year-old. So it's not really that complicated.
Right, right.
And they love the food. Of course, the higher value food is the most disgusting.
Naturally.
Naturally. So of course, you know, two boys just think this is the best thing ever. So that's something that they've been bringing to the table quite a bit, just because it's ridiculous and they're boys.
I mean, I can get behind ridiculous games.
They've got their place. I don't have serious gamers in my boys. They like light and silly, and the more ridiculous it is, the more they go for it. Hoagie was a favorite of theirs for quite a while for the same reason, just silly, light and silly.
There's a reason why my almost 11-year-old daughter absolutely adores Sparkle Kitty, and everyone else just kind of is like, all right, sure. And it's that same just absolute ridiculousness of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then again, there's stuff we go to that is just as ridiculous. We played a while ago. One of the first early games that I reviewed was Unspeakable Words, which is a Cthulhu themed.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that one?
I haven't played it, but I'm familiar with it.
The silliness of the game kind of escalates as the game goes along, to the point that if you lose enough sanity points, you don't have to make real words anymore. And as long as you read the word, it counts.
Okay.
Super silly. I mean, we just sat around the table laughing hysterically during the game as it progressed. So, just fun, you know. And then the other end of the spectrum is we just sat down with some friends and started a new Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So the complete other end of the spectrum. So
I'm sure that one has silly moments, but overall, more serious about what you're doing, maybe.
At times. More moments of seriousness in between the ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's a lighthearted group, so we don't take ourselves too seriously.
That's what I like to hear.
Yes, it's true. But that's with the kids. I mean, I've got ones that I like to bring more if, like, there's adults sitting around. I actually got my mother-in-law recently to play Seikatsu, which I know you really enjoy.
I do really, really love Seikatsu, yeah.
That's one that I really enjoy too. And my mother-in-law, the flowers and the birds, it's her perfect genre. It was, you know, I literally brought it over to her house. I'm like, if you're going to play anything tonight, play this. And she really enjoyed it because it was very mellow. And again, the theme of it was just perfect for her.
Yeah, I personally love that feeling of, it wouldn't need to be flowers and birds for me, but that abstract, like, you're just trying to make an interesting pattern going in a certain way. It's not really about either being ridiculous or about being super competitive, although there is a competitive edge.
There is, but it definitely has a more mellow flavor to it, a more mellow just tone.
Yeah.
So that was one that I try to make it a point to bring. We have a camper up in Massachusetts, and we've brought it up and played it fireside. And because it's just calm and with the nice heavy tokens, you know, it's good for outside.
Yeah.
So that's one I really enjoy. Another one of my favorites, and I've played with my older child, is Photosynthesis.
So I was just telling Andrew last week that I am jealous he got a chance to play Photosynthesis and I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully sometime soon, the same friend who brought it for Andrew to play can be bribed to come back and play it again.
Yeah, no, it's one I actually was able to get a copy. I put it on my Amazon wish list and got it. And I'm happy to have it in my collection. We don't play it often, but it's just one that I really enjoy. You know, it's just so pretty and the mechanics of it aren't too complicated.
Sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. No, and it's one of those that when you first are setting it up, it seems really complicated. But once you play the first round of turns, it makes perfect sense. It kind of flows into place.
I find that usually happens when the theme really fits really well. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to figure out all these little pieces that seem independent. And then you're like, oh, wait, but we're growing trees. So the sun moves around, the sun shines on the trees and the trees grow. Okay. Like, I got it.
I got this. And I have to put them here and I have to move them to here. And it's like, okay. And once you get that flow, I think, like the first round was definitely the learning curve. And then we moved a lot quicker the second two rounds, but it moved along pretty nicely. Once we, you know, cause literally all four of us sitting at the table the first time had never played it. So that always steepens the learning curve.
That would slow it down a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Now I've got one more if you would like one more little gem. I don't know if you've ever heard of this one, Sky Joe.
Only because, again, I was listening to one of your episodes of the Engage Family Gaming podcast.
Okay.
But I'm sure most of our listeners have not heard of it. So tell us about it.
So Sky Joe is a card game that you have a field of 16 cards that are all face down. And at the very beginning, you can turn over, I think it's two or three to start the game. And then you take turns drawing a card and you have to trade it for one of your upside down cards, or you can trade it for a card that is face up. The goal is to have the least amount of points at the end of each round. And the cards are numbered to -2 up to 12. So you're trying to just go through, and of course you don't know what's upside down, and go through. And each round ends when one person gets all their cards face up, and then everyone gets one more turn, and then have to flip over what they have remaining and add it up. So those you can either be a benefit or a detriment, and you're playing to 100 points. And this is one, and it actually goes pretty quick. It's not that many rounds usually. But what I like with that one is I played it with my children, and at the time my younger one was, I think, barely 6 years old. And he was able to understand the negatives because just, you know, it's like he treated it as fraction, easy. And we only just, we just did one round. Instead of playing to 100, it was just whoever had the lowest score at the end of one round. And okay, it just shortened the game up. It was one of those little simple adaptions that was super easy. But that's another one. It's a small box. And it plays up to 8 players. It's a 2-to-8 player game.
Wow.
You don't find many of those.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of those.
Yeah. But this is one that I just really enjoy. It's not super thinky, so it's a good like sit around kind of chat and play one. And I have to give credit to that. This is one that I actually heard from another podcast that I listened to. Have you ever heard of the Our Turn podcast?
No.
This one is one I found, and it's a female host, and one of her frequent co-hosts loves this game, and I picked it up from her. Kathy Ford's the main host, and now I'm drawing a blank on the woman that recommended. I can only think of her handle. Her handle is Eurogamergirl. Yeah, she's all over. She's really neat to follow, and she's got some neat things that I picked up from her on there. She's really interesting. So apparently, I've heard that she actually created the 10x10 challenge initially.
Yeah, I had heard that as well.
So a little plug for her because she's just neat to follow.
What's their podcast called again?
Our Turn, Gaming for Everyone. Our Turn, yep. And it's neat because it's more female focused as far as the host. And she tends to have a lot of female guests and co-hosts. So it's neat to get that other voice. So it's nice to be able to at least talk a little bit about other women that are doing some great things out there.
Yeah, I'm sure you often have the same feeling I do. It's like, well, I feel like I'm appreciated, but this is kind of a boys club that I'm in. You know, I don't feel like I don't belong. I just wish there were more women here with me. So
right. I've never felt welcomed. I've always felt comfortable, but you're right. You're definitely the minority.
Yeah. There's an element for me, of being used to that because I went to an engineering school. So it was always lots of men and fewer women. Welcome to WPI, where the odds are good, but the goods are odd. I will keep repeating that joke until the day that I die. But there is something to be said for, even if you feel welcomed, sometimes it's just nice to see more people who look like you.
Right.
Or, you know, sound like you.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice to try to pull in diverse voices, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to come back around again now. I think Engaged Family Gaming does a pretty good job of that with having moms and dads. Mm-hmm. We're trying hard to do that here at the Family Gamers, although generally the only mom is me. But, you know, every once in a while, there's a lot of other women who help behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's trying to get their voices to the foreground at times.
Yeah, well, and I think some of that comes from trying to do more other things that a lot of us are willing to let the things where our voices would be heard, let those things slide and take care of the other things that, you know, might actually be considered more important depending on who's asking.
Mm-hmm.
A little plug for our own show here. That's why this particular show is coming out a little later than usual, because we wanted to make time for Mother's Day and not try to fit something in on or just before Mother's Day. So you're welcome.
Being moms, schedules are really full, especially in May.
Just a little tiny bit of really overwhelmingly full. Not that that's not true for our better halves as well, but it's just a little bit different when you are the, what's the term I'm looking for? Like the family manager.
Yes.
Making sure everyone gets to the right place at the right time.
And depending on which philosophy you hold, there's also the mental load that the moms tend to carry.
Yeah, I see the truth behind that, although I happen to think that Andrew is pretty great at carrying a lot of the mental load that I can't handle. So
that's fantastic.
Props to him.
Absolutely.
So speaking of Mother's Day, I hope you had a at least somewhat relaxing Mother's Day. I kind of did. We're both, I can tell from your laughing, we're both at the ages where it's nice that our kids and husbands recognize us, but Mother's Day usually ends up becoming more about our own mothers and less about ourselves.
Yes. So I'm very blessed that I live really close to both my mother and my mother-in-law, and they are both in good health and I see them regularly, and mm-hmm. I'm enjoying that while that's true. So
I hear you on that one.
Yes. So we actually spent Mother's Day as going to lunch with my mother, going to her house for lunch and having a lovely visit with her, and then driving back home, dropping off things, picking up things, and driving to my mother-in-law's house and having a lovely supper.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. We didn't go to my mother-in-law's house. We went to my sister-in-law who hosted us. Ooh. So we can celebrate okay. my mother. But
sure.
You know, but I'm very fortunate to have family so close so we can do both. But yes, it was, I wouldn't call it relaxing, but it was pleasant.
Yeah. Well, there's that sort of, there's a somewhat relaxing element if you're not the one having to do all of the planning and the hosting and the,
yes,
you know, but at the same time, you're still driving around and making sure you have the right stuff with you. And mm-hmm. yeah, in our case, we hosted, my mother and my mother-in-law came over, but I avoided cooking anything by ordering Chinese food.
Nothing wrong with that.
So had nobody had to cook.
That's nice. We had cooking happen at both houses, but it was both simple meals, nothing super fancy, just trying to enjoy each other and not stress anybody out. So that was a nice goal to have.
That's a good move.
It yeah. is a good move to sit around, be able to talk. And, you know, the kids were playing some games at my sister-in-law's house and kind of chilling and enjoying some playing Minecraft locally with each other and mm-hmm, things like mm-hmm. that. Convincing their older cousin who's in high school to play headbands with them was quite a sight.
Oh, I bet that was very entertaining.
It was. She's a good sport. So, you know, little fun family time. So it was really pleasant. Didn't do a lot of gaming on Mother's Day just because it was time. We were just visiting and a lot of the extended family isn't much of gamers. Mm-hmm. I laugh because as much as, you know, I know your favorite game, Candyland, but unfortunately that's my mother's speed. I love her to death, but she is a very... She likes really basic rules. Her preference is just roll and move or spin and move. And if it's more complicated, she gets a bit overwhelmed. I think we've got her into Pyraminx. She can handle Pyraminx because, again, it's very, you know, yeah. just pull a couple
one.
Small,
yep.
pick one. Very simple rules. The boys have learned that if they're bringing a game to grandma's house, it needs to be, you know, really basic. They've done a couple of the Think Fun games because it's more STEM-ish. And, you know, so she can kind of let them do their thing. But, you know, knowing your audience, that's a big thing that we've been, you know, trying to steer them towards, you know,
yeah, for sure.
Don't bring evolution to grandma's house.
It's funny. I was thinking my mother loves to play games. And before she moved down here to be close to us, she actually went to a regularly scheduled game night with a bunch of 20 somethings. My mother is 79. But she had a great time, but she would always complain a lot that, you know, play through the game once and learn the rules, might get a second chance to play and then would never see it again. Mm. So we've made a real push not to do that when she comes over and plays games with the kids. Try to go for the same four or five games over and over again. Someday, one of us might be able to handle playing Scrabble with her, but she is a Scrabble shark, so probably not.
Only if you got your little phone on the side helping you like develop some words.
It's the combination of having the really good vocabulary for it, but also really internalizing how to make high point words, which is not always right. the same thing as making long words or making impressive words.
Right, because if you have like a J or I'm trying to think what other high value letters there are that makes such a difference.
Well, and it can also just be about putting in a single letter here or there to really close up the formation on the board.
That's
and
true.
Make it hard to for anybody else to make more words off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So she is really good at all of that strategy because Scrabble is a game that she has played hundreds of times.
Right.
The rest of us are not. But she, again, just like your mother-in-law, she enjoys games like Saikatsu. And some of those other relatively simple abstract strategy mm-hmm. kind of games.
Right.
I think that's probably where I got my love of abstract strategy was from playing games with her.
Yeah. No, it's neat to see how your history can affect where you go in your gaming preferences. So
yeah, for sure.
Which is funny because my gaming preferences make absolutely no sense because I got into gaming completely backwards. Funny story if you want to hear it.
Sure.
So I really didn't play a lot of games as a kid. I mean, we played Uno at recess and, Phase 10 a little bit in college, nothing much to speak of. And then after I got married, we met some people. Actually, we met Steven and his wife, Jenna, and some other people, and they got us into LARPing, live action role play. So here I am. I've done nothing, not really having gamed, really didn't play video games, get thrown into this completely new world for me, had a really steep learning curve, but ended up really enjoying it. Started with the live action role play, then moved into some Dungeons and Dragons and some tabletop gaming with this same group of friends. And then only once we had kids and life got too crazy to regularly do some tabletop gaming and LARPing and everything, got more into the board gaming. So came at it completely backwards than most people. So, yeah, and only now that the kids are bigger and we can, send them down to the playroom and they will most likely not turn completely Lord of the Flies on us, we're trying again to come back to some tabletop gaming. So,
yeah, I can see that. My husband and I have taken about a 10-year hiatus from anything that's not a one-shot tabletop game. So, yeah.
Yeah, it takes time. Though I have to say, my 10-year-old sat in on part of our gaming session the last time, and he was like riveted and, really engaged by it. So I think we may have a future, getting into something a little more heavy duty, because he was really excited by just watching us kind of go through the story.
Oh, sure. Makes sense to me. I think at least one of my kids would be very interested if we could get back into D&D or something else similar.
Right.
It's just finding the time and the people to play with.
Right. Those are two big hurdles, especially
big challenges.
Busy life.
Well, speaking of busy schedules, we're not going to take too much longer tonight. But Linda, why don't you and I both talk a little bit about what we're looking forward to in specifically in gaming, since that's why we're here.
There you go. So I'm really looking forward to this summer. We have Kineticon coming up, and embedded in the Kineticon convention is the Connecticut Festival of Independent Games. So it's sort of a sneak peek to what a lot of the different upcoming games that go to the Boston Festival of Independent Games.
Yeah,
quite a few of them make their, at least the first appearance I get to see at Kineticon at the Connecticut Festival of Independent Games. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's taking place in July. I think it's mid-July. The date, of course, is escaping me, but that's something that definitely I'm looking forward to. So how about you? Is there something exciting in gaming coming up that you're looking forward to?
Well, in about 4 weeks, I am going to Origins for the first time.
Oh, so I'm jealous.
I'm excited and a little scared. And it'll be the first trip that I've taken without children in about 5 or 6 years. So, well,
you're not going to have to do with yourself.
Without children or my husband, I should specify. We've been on a few short trips together without the kids. So I'm not sure I am going to know what to do with myself, but thankfully I will have Rick and Ryan from One Board Family putting me up and hopefully pointing me in the right direction, at least some of the time.
That's super exciting. So do you have a lot of appointments for that? Is that something that you're going to make appointments with, or just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and see what's there?
I am definitely a fly by the seat of my pants type person, but I am going to make at least a few appointments so that I can get in there and get some good interviews talking to people, and hopefully our audience here can benefit.
Absolutely. You guys do some great interviews in the conventions. I love hearing the conversations you get into in the middle of the conventions. Looking forward to seeing what you have.
That's good to hear, because I'm way less nervous on a show floor for some reason than I am in any other context.
It's the energy. There's something about the shows that there's just this energy.
Well, and I think some of it may also be that people are so obviously there to represent their game or their company or their initiative that I'm like, all right, give me the same spiel that you've given other people 20 times already today and go.
And they've got their elevator pitch ready to go.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Sounds like fun. We've got some fun conventions coming up this summer.
We do. I think it'll be a good time.
Yeah. Are you guys going to make it to PAX Unplugged again this winter?
It's in the plans. Us and two kids again. That's how we've been doing it. And we're going to try to keep doing it. Well, now our kids know what to expect. They're like old pros.
That's true.
They can practically do the interviews for us.
Which is fun hearing kids doing interviews.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping to get a little bit more of that, but it's actually a balance to walk of pushing them to get out there and do some of it themselves, but not pushing them so hard that they just fight and shut down and I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. So balance. Yeah. Well, there's always a balance with kids. Not too much, not too little. Find just right.
Yep. So I think that's going to be it for us tonight. Okay. Linda, where can we find you online?
So you can find me. I do post on the Engage Family Gaming website. So you'll see periodically different reviews from me. I'm kind of on hiatus. I'm on really light duty right now as I finish up the school year because report cards and, you know, end of the year assessments kind of win over games right now, unfortunately.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. But you can find me on Instagram. My handle on that is DragonRose720. And you get to see all kinds of gardening pictures. I do post occasional school pictures of, like, my chickens when they hatch and, you know, things like that in the class. Sans the children.
Lots of home repair, renovation photos.
Oh, my goodness.
There.
So if anyone wants to see what a ridiculously large home renovation looks like from start to finish, because we technically are done. The contractor is finished.
Congratulations.
Thank you much. We had a 7-month remodel and remodeled more than a third of our house.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. So yeah, that had quite the story on there. There will be more pictures this summer as we kind of move into the spaces and do our finishing touches. But yeah, lots of home stuff and lots of game pictures and the kids with the games and the kids being kids.
Sure.
The other place I can be found is on Twitter. I am moms_stories. So both mom and stories are plural.
Okay.
So I'm not on there a ton, but I will occasionally, when there's free time, free time, get on there and try to post and respond to things. And as always, you can find me through the Engage Family Gaming community. And I am occasionally on the Family Gamers community. I did join you guys, too.
I noticed that. So thank you for that. Find Linda every once in a while on the Family Gamers community. Speaking of which, you can find us online, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Family Gamers AA. That's for Andrew and Anitra. You can join our Facebook community just like Linda did. The easiest way to get there is to just go to thefamilygamers.com/community. If social media is not your thing, you can email us. I am anitra@thefamilygamers.com. Or we have a contact form on our website now. So that also works. Please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about the Engage Family Gaming podcast. And leave us a review if you can. Last but not least, if you like what you're hearing and you would like to hear more of it or help us to do more cool stuff, check out our Pod Pledge. Go to thefamilygamers.com/podpledge and become part of the family. Well, I think that's going to be it for this week. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Linda. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, it's been my pleasure to be on here. It's been fun talking about all the mom stuff.
So that's our show. Until next week.
Play games with your kids.